Kia ora and welcome to Paul Diamond, our book reviewer this morning.
Morena, welcome back.
Now, you have some lovely things from your reading of the past year. What would you like to recommend?
Well, I've got three here. The first one is a book by an author, Brent Coutts, who you interviewed last year. So it's called Crossing the Lines, the story of three homosexual New Zealand soldiers in World War II, which is exactly what it is. Focuses on these three men, Harold Robinson, Douglas Morrison and Ralph Dyer. And they were in these concert parties, you know, where the men dressed up as women and entertained the troops. And they were three gay men. Brent met two of those guys and interviewed them. And they were able to tell him quite a lot about the third one. But what the book actually does is tells that broader story, which you talked about in your interview, about the experiences of gay men, men who might not have thought of themselves as gay but had sex with men during World War II. And it was exciting for me as a historian to see that these stories are there. It's just a matter of having the ability to access that material. And what I love about the fact that he interviewed those two men is that it was quite a collaborative project. So I had a strong sense that those men would have been comfortable with the way their story was told. So just need to direct people to your interview, which is still online.
Some serendipity, actually, speaking of history and source history, some serendipity in how he got onto the thread of a possible story, and then in time, as you say, how people were prepared to speak. These were, you know, this was new material in a sense, or certainly a great elaboration on little told stories.
Well, and it was combining oral history and archival history. Mm. You know, there's a wealth of sort of research that underpins this book, as well as those conversations with those men. And that's quite special, because the further away you get from these things, the more difficult it is for historians to judge, well, was this really how people saw their lives? But I think that's what makes that book quite unique. And it was, you know, beautiful production by Otago University Press. They did a really good job of presenting that story.
Right.
So that's a great project. The second one is, in my travelling around the country, I was at Te Uru, the gorgeous gallery in Te Tirangi, and there is an exhibition there that I'd heard about called A Vocabulary, Photographs by Bruce Conyeu. And it's photographs of memorials associated with the New Zealand Land Wars, which is called in this project Ngā Pakanga Whenua o Mua. And it's a collaboration with a curator, Rangihiroa Panoho, who has written some accompanying mō tiatia, sort of song, poetry, and an essay. So the exhibition is still on. So anybody who can is anywhere near Te Tirangi, it's on till the 14th of February. And in association with the project is this gorgeous book, which is, it's a real, like a piece of art, really. There aren't a huge, it's a very limited print run, and I was really pleased that they still had some copies. I don't even think it's actually been officially launched, because they've had interruptions because of the pandemic and things. But what it is it gives you an idea of these images of the memorials. And what's unusual about the images is that it's just focusing in on the text. And it does it in a very, what do you call that, bifurcated, you know, a sort of a diptych kind of, images are cut in pieces. And it's kind of unsettling and focusing at the same time. So, you know, I'm aware of these memorials around the country, but I've always found them a little bit opaque and a little bit hard to engage with, because as they point out in this book, they're overwhelmingly British, Crown and settler-funded and initiated. So if you're looking for Māori stories of resistance, they're a little bit harder to find. But this book, I think, is great because it gives us another way into looking at these. And it links with all this work that's going on by people like Vincent O'Malley, the historian, who is saying that there are fuller stories which need to be owned, and that is quoted here as one involving Māori defending their lands and their sovereignty against Crown invasion. So a really major point that Rangihiroa makes is that these monuments reflect the politics that contemporaneously created them, which is always the case with any memorial. And he doesn't believe the monuments, though, interestingly, should be changed or removed, because to remove means you lose the chance to learn from them. And that's actually something that where I've got to with these memorials too. You know, there's been debate about our memorials, there's been debate about memorials in America and Britain and other countries. And he says, the silence present in the reference in these Ngā Pakanga Whenua memorials to Māori should be left as a testimony to the past and as a warning to future generations, which I think's a really interesting point. And he finishes by making a connection with the Prince of Wales' speech at his investiture in 1969, which keen viewers of the Crown will remember, an example of how the past can be a stimulus for the future. So this is a great project because it's incredibly optimistic, and it's just encouraging people to engage with these memorials that are all around us in our country, So highly recommended. It is a bit of a tricky book to find, but there are still copies available. And if you're anywhere near Auckland, you can see the show itself. Third item, He Pukapuka Tākatū I ngā mahi a Te Rauparaha Nui, ngā Tamihana Te Rauparaha, a record of the life of the great Te Rauparaha, translated and edited by Ross Kalman. Now, I need to disclose Ross is a colleague and a friend, and we're both in the same history writing group here in Wellington, and our group has read some of the chapters and drafts of Ross's essay at the beginning of this, but it's an amazing project, and it's been the realisation, having seen some sort of drafts and talked to Ross about it, it's great to see the finished product. So this is a manuscript. This is a translation of a manuscript that was written between 1866 to 69 by Te Rauparaha's son, and it's an account of his father's life. Now, Te Rauparaha's super famous, you know, the Ngāti Tō Rangatira, composer of the Nyeri, Kamate. There's been many, many biographies, but what's, and a lot of them have relied on this manuscript, but the problem is that the manuscript has not ever been properly translated. It's been incredibly badly mistreated, it's been misinterpreted. So, yeah, there was a translation, but it was based on a partial, errorful transcript. So there's never really been a correct translation of this. And I think Ross acknowledges that this is sort of a working document, that he's still, there are still some puzzles about the language in this, but this sort of moves our scholarship a huge leap forward in terms of that period of time, 1820s and 30s. So it was funny listening to the stories about sea shanties this morning. That's this world where the whalers are starting to engage with Māori in the period before the treaty. So there's essays at the start which tell about how this has a personal connection for Ross because he's a descendant of Te Rauparaha. There are maps, and then it's presented in a dual format. So English, Māori on the left, English on the right, and unobtrusive sort of notes that help you if you need them. So it's amazing to see how Māori tikanga was operating then. I see now the landscape of this country completely differently. You know, when Māori were tootling back and forth between the two islands, they went from a place called Ōmere, Cape Terawhiti, on that Makara coast, and then they went across to Totoranui, which was the name for Marlborough Sound. So it's they never came into the harbour. They were just, that was because it's the closest point for the two islands. There's revelations like this amazing Māori counting system, which was another reason people have misinterpreted this. So instead of, you know, there were 100 warriors, people were saying, oh, there was only one. But they didn't understand this different Māori counting system that Ross has uncovered. And it's a fantastic language resource for second language learners like me, but it's accessible to everyone. Hugely, hugely important book. And they've done a beautiful, beautiful job. There's a selection of photos here. It's really got everything you need. So it can sort of, people can engage with this at all sorts of different levels.
Fabulous. Thank you for the selections. They are on the website in more detail. Some of them, as you said, a bit hard to get a hold of, although there's always libraries, I'm sure. They'll all be available at least in that. Thank you very, very much, Paul Diamond, with his best of for his reading of the past year.